It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, doing a verse-by-verse teaching from the book of 1 Peter, and today is a good chapter. Today we come to the last chapter of 1 Peter, and it's talking about pastors and congregations. It's talking about shepherds and sheep. He says in the first verse of chapter 5 in 1 Peter, he says, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed." Now, depending on what type of church you grew up in, you may have a very different concept of what an elder is. But in the Jewish culture, the idea of elders began clear back in the book of Exodus. And the idea of elders did not deal as much with age as it did maturity. It's the maturity that you'll find in an older person, someone who's been in the faith for a while, someone who's been around. When Paul and Barnabas were on their missionary journeys, when they would start churches, they would appoint elders in the church. And sometimes there were not a lot of people who had been Christians for a while because Christianity itself was very new. So they took the most mature people that they could find who understood the gospel, and they appointed them to be elders. And then later on, the idea of the chief elder or the teaching elder, which became the role of the shepherd or the pastor in the church. The Apostle Paul spoke about this to his spiritual son Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17 when he said, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine." Paul reiterates this principle to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 when he said, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." See, so many times we look for able people, people with gifts, people with lots of talent, and then we try to make them faithful. Paul told Timothy, that's not what you do. You first look for faithful men, reliable men, and let God make them capable. Let God give them the ability they need. Notice in our text today in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter refers to himself as a fellow elder. He says, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder." He was a disciple, he was an apostle, but he's also a fellow elder. He's a mature one who can teach others. So now in this passage, Peter is speaking to the elders and the pastors, and notice what he says in verse 2, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." Now that's a mouthful. We have to stop and dissect that. Because as he's speaking to the pastors here and the leaders, the elders, he begins by telling them, serve because you're willing and not because you have to. If God calls you into pastoral ministry or even into the ministry of an elder serving in a church, supporting the pastor and the leadership of that church, it should begin with you answering the call God puts on your heart. You've got to be doing it for the right reason. And then he begins to address some of the wrong reasons. He says here, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Oh, I have to be careful addressing this because it'll probably offend somebody. But listen, some of the flamboyant lifestyles of people today in the ministry, I really believe go against this teaching from 1 Peter. Now, I'm not saying here that Christians have to be poor or that pastors and leaders have to be poor. But listen, friend, we can't be greedy for money. The Bible teaches us the love of money is the root of all evil. And our motivation has to be to serve. He says here, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. That's the most important job of a shepherd or a pastor, is to be an example to the flock. I had an opportunity to test this in my own life years back when I was friends with a wealthy billionaire who I was finally able to lead him to the Lord. And on his deathbed, he said, "Keith, I want you to have my car." It was a bright red Porsche 930 Turbo. It went so fast. And you'd have to know me. I had such a love for cars. I started selling new cars when I was 16 years old. I would go half a day to high school, and then I would go and sell new cars. And I loved cars. So God gives me this bright red Porsche. And I thought, what am I going to do? Now, I know there was nothing wrong with having that nice car. But listen, friend, it would be wrong if that car had me. And that's what I was afraid of. So on his deathbed, as he was dying, I asked my friend, "Is it okay if I give this to the church and we use it for our building fund?" And he said, "Whatever you want to do." Now, a lady in my church did suggest maybe I get a wig and some dark sunglasses and enjoy the car. I didn't want that car to become a stumbling block for somebody who looked at it and thought, "Where did he get such a nice car?" Living a life of ministry and servitude. But not only are we to not be greedy and love money, but we are also to set an example. And he said, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. It's very important, if you're a pastor today or a shepherd, it's very important that you learn that God does not want you to use that authority just to lord it over people. We're called to serve. As a matter of fact, we're chief servants in our local church to minister to people and not lord it over them. Jesus used the example by washing his disciples' feet. Peter said, "Lord, you can never do that." And Jesus said, "Nope, if you want to have any part of me in the kingdom, you let me wash your feet, Peter." In that day, people wore sandals and the roads were dusty and dirty. And whenever you would come into a house, there would be a servant who would wash your feet and then would wipe them off with the towel. When Jesus did that, he was letting his disciples know he came to serve. Verse 2, Peter said, "Be shepherds of God's flock that's under your care, serving as overseers." People in that day knew exactly what Peter was talking about because an overseer was understood as someone who took care of the property of another person. You see, as pastors, God wants to remind us these are not our sheep. They're God's sheep. And we are to be a shepherd which has the responsibility to lead and to feed the sheep. That's really what a pastor does. He leads the congregation with vision, and he feeds them by sharing the Word of God like I'm doing with you today. Most of you know that I love the paraphrase by Peterson called The Message. And I'd like to just read these first three verses again in The Message. Listen to the way he puts it. "I have a special concern for you, church leaders. I know what it's like to be a leader, in on Christ's sufferings as well as the coming glory. Here's my concern, that you care for God's flock with all the diligence of a shepherd, not because you have to, but because you want to please God, not calculating what you can get out of it, but acting spontaneously, not bossily telling others what to do, but tenderly showing them the way." Then in verse 4, he says, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." That is so much better than a car, friend. It's so much better than a mansion we could have here on this earth. The Bible tells us that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it even entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for those who love him. God has blessings in store for us, friend. Now when we come to verse 5, Peter begins to shift gears a little bit, and now he's going to talk to the young men. He did speak to the mature men or the elders. Now he's going to speak to the young men. Look what he says. "Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Now, perhaps you remember from my teaching last week that word submissive or submit is a Greek word hupotasso. Hupo means to be under, and tasso meant an orderly arrangement. So God is telling them here, come under the authority structure of my church that I've set up. Sometimes for young men or young people, it's hard to submit because they have all this energy, they have all these ideas, they have all these great giftings. But God is a God of structure, and God is a God of order. And he's like, make sure you are submissive to those who are older. And then he addresses everyone, and he says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. And then he gives the reason why. Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And there, Peter is quoting the wisdom of Solomon in Proverbs. Humility can many times be a difficult lesson to learn because we either humble ourselves, or I have found that God has a way of humbling us. And you demonstrate humility by submission. That's how you demonstrate it. I've often heard men speak of how humble they are, and I think, wow, that's anything but humility. See, humility is being able to choose the lowest task, to be able to not care whether or not your name is mentioned. It doesn't matter whether you're on the platform or not. And nobody has to know what you gave or what you did. Solomon said in Proverbs 3:34, he said, surely he scorns the scornful, but he gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. Peter said it, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humility and pride, they're opposites, friend. Pride demands the limelight, but humility says, it doesn't matter if anyone notices me or not. I'm doing this for God. See, in verse 6, Peter said, humble yourselves, therefore, there's that word, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. So many times when we miss it and we get into the area of pride, it's because we don't understand this thing called timing. I often say 90% of the time when we miss it with God, we miss it in this area of timing. Because God operates with an eternal perspective, and we are living in time. So we get impatient with God, and we want things done on our timetable and not his. But Peter says, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. You may have a big vision today. God may have given you big dreams, and you might think, wow, why isn't anybody paying attention to this? Why isn't anybody noticing me? Listen, friend, God has a perfect timetable. And when you humble yourselves and submit to God's authority and to the authority he puts in your life with your pastor and the elders and your church, your parents, God has a way of bringing about great things in what he calls due season. Now, I want to close out today with verse 7, and then we'll finish the book tomorrow. He said in verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Friend, that is such an important verse. I can't tell you how many times in my life I have gone back to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, and I've said these words over and over again in my heart. I can't tell you how many times someone has been in my office, and I can sense and feel the anxiety and the fear in their life, and I write out a prescription for 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. God wants you to cast or throw all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. It's such an important concept that we need to grasp, friend, in our lives. Walk in grace. God loves you. He really does.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and he makes his mercies new every morning.